This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. What is artificial intelligence exactly? It certainly adds lots of convenience to our everyday lives, but author and speaker Jay Tuck warns AI could kill us, leading to the end of biological evolution as we know it. He speaks in Dayton later today, and I spoke with him earlier. Jay Tuck, thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Artificial intelligence is what we're going to talk about today. And I really just want to start off with a basic understanding of what that is. How do you define artificial intelligence?
That's a wise question, because lots of people talk about the subject without really understanding what it is. And I would suggest we start with a simple statistic. If you just remember or write down the number 200 million pages of information and wrap your head around that, 200 million pages of information can be digested by an AI system of today in 3 seconds. That goes a little bit beyond our human capacities.
So I've also seen you identify AI as software that writes itself?
Correct. Yes, that's the definition of it. It's software that writes itself. It writes its own updates. And actually, if you talk to the people who write it and the people who really know about it, Silicon Valley or in Europe or anywhere, they all say that it pretty quickly reaches the stadium where it's out of control. It's autonomous. It does its own thing. They can tell, is it doing its job? Is it doing its job right? But what they can't do is like reverse engineer it to understand what it has done to itself. It's autonomous. It's not a person sitting down with a keyboard writing code lines. It's they call it training. You need huge volumes of data, and it learns all by itself.
And I've read some of your writings. I've watched some of your videos, and you really don't mess around with this topic at all. You basically say that artificial intelligence will kill us. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a lot that will happen first. It's a very revolutionary technology. If I can take one quick step backward, if you look at the revolutionary technologies in the history of humanity, you run into people like Gutenberg, who did the printing press, or Watts, who discovered the steam engine, or Edison, who discovered electricity. And you see that there was always a very long delay between the innovation itself and the changes made in society. When they discovered the printing press, it took hundreds of years before people were printing all kinds of books and reading all kinds of books. The same with the steam engine. You didn't have the Industrial Revolution right off. You had what you call a technological delay. It took longer between inventing something and it changing us. That's different with AI. AI changes us almost immediately.
And you've noted that artificial intelligence has already surpassed humans in society. What are some examples that you can give us?
Okay, that's a very qualified statement, because everyone wants to know, when does it catch up with us? A lot of people make the mistake of comparing it to human beings. They say when an artificial intelligence can write a conversation in a computer and you can't tell it's a computer, that's when it's caught up with. They measure it on our intelligence. And the things that AI does, it does a lot better than the things that we do in some sectors. Like you take stockbrokers in the finance world. When I was young, people wanted to become a stockbroker. You wanted to make millions, maybe even billions of dollars. Today, if you look at the largest bank in the world, Goldman Sachs, where they had 600 stockbrokers in the year 2000, in that room now, there are only two left because the machines can do it better.
The book you wrote, Evolution Without Us, the very first lines are pretty ominous. I want to read some of them. You write, quote, "We're too stupid to understand. That's why we will probably not recognize the true threat of artificial intelligence until it is too late. Artificial intelligence grows with exponential speed. The human brain cannot comprehend exponential growth, not really. Linear growth, that is X percent per year, we can understand, but values continually multiplied by ever-increasing numbers are quickly beyond our imagination."
That's true, yeah.
Is it already too late to slow this down or stop this or alter this? Do we want to?
Well, the problem is not the technology. The technology, of course, you can slow it down. The problem is the human greed. We all want to earn money. We all want to get rich fast. And there is so much enormous money involved in it, in the defense industry, in finance, in medicine, in all the important sectors of our economic life. So you won't be able to turn off people being greedy. and you won't be able to turn off the weapons race, either one.
Well, speaking of the weapons and the defense and all that, I mean, what role is AI playing in the military and intelligence organizations and intelligence gathering around the world? How is it dangerous?
Okay, well, let me say one thing about my own qualifications. I am not a computer programmer or a science fiction author. I am a journalist, an investigative journalist. So I base what I say on fact. So this is the here and now. Computer intelligence, autonomous intelligence is available in the drones that are flying in war zones right now. It is not making the kill decision because American law requires that a human be in the decision loop. But the software is already in the drones, and it's one of the goals of our Department of Defense to have AI weapon systems on land, in the air, and undersea that can make the kill decision independent of human beings. That's a declared goal of the Pentagon. That's dangerous.
You also write in your book, Evolution Without Us, quote, theoretically, the state is able to call up all of our data with a mouse click. If we don't have any terroristic habits, however, it probably won't be interested. Normal citizens are the unimportant blades of grass in the gigantic haystack of big data. For spies, totally unimportant. But there are people who are interested in every blade of grass in the haystack. They are powerful. In dealings with them, we should be very cautious because they track us for our entire lives. Are you talking about smart devices like Alexa or Google Home or the big tech giants like Google and Facebook?
Most people have no idea how deeply and intensively they are being tracked. Facebook and Apple and these companies, they like to go at each other. Facebook had a big attack on Apple and Apple on Facebook and so on. But well, for example, a Washington Post journalist, and that's a reliable newspaper, he discovered that his iPhone at night on his night table was making hundreds of telephone calls every night and transferring his data back to the companies at home, not to Apple, but to the apps. And that was very sensitive data they were transferring. I'm not talking about an IP address or a geographic location. I'm talking about, you know, the Google searches. That's about the most sensitive thing that you can have. They were up to, in a two-week period, they were up to 5,000 apps. They were all making phone calls and transferring his data back to their headquarters without knowledge, without approval of the owners.
I had read that same article in the Washington Post and raised that question during one of the tech segments that we have on here recently. And our regular
Scary
guest,
stuff.
Dave Hatter, was quite concerned about those things. And it just seems like there's so much of that can go on with our devices, and we are not aware of it. Do you think there came a point in our culture, and can you identify it, where not only are we just unaware of it, but are we less concerned about it?
Well, if we have a new medication, and even if it's going to be a lifesaver and it can cure cancer, it takes 5 to 6 years for that to go through the various institutions of our government. There's a delay. If you have an app, no one is checking on you. No one has to approve your app. You just put it on the market, and if it sells and does wonderful things, it goes through immediately. It will be accepted immediately. And there was a reporter over in Germany. He applied to the Big Five, and he said, what kind of data do you have? And German data protection laws say they have to tell him what data they have. And they transferred it to him, and he went back to his newspaper, and he tried to print it out. And the editor-in-chief said, you can't print that out here. He said, this is important. Why not? They said, because it's 400,000 pages of information. A normal human being, and they had 400,000 pages of information on him. I mean, forget the profiling of the FBI or the NSA. The big business in big data is enormous and impossible to stop because people are earning a lot of money with it.
And another article you wrote, similarly to this, that many of us don't even understand what is going on around us. We are spectators in a spectacle that is being shaped by an invisible automated being. Robotic software that was written by other robots is becoming increasingly sophisticated, complicated, and more difficult to comprehend. So I ask you, Jaytok, with all the convenience that these devices bring us and the role that they play in our consumerism and our lack of total understanding of it, how do we become more aware of these dangers that they pose?
Well, my book, Evolution Without Us, is a wake-up call. It's supposed to make people aware of the size and the dimensions of these the tsunami of information that is being collected. And big data cannot be understood. It's useless without artificial intelligence to analyze it. Again, at the speed of 200 million pages of information in 3 seconds, that our little brains, we have 1,200 grams, we have 20 watts of electrical power in our skulls. We can't keep up with that kind of thing. So it's doing a lot of things that are out of control, because that's the definition of it. But on the other hand, we're not talking about Hollywood scenarios. We're not talking about deep space systems that are throwing atomic bombs at us or some kind of monsters. Artificial intelligence is code. It's cold code. It's pluses and zeros. And it has no motivation. But it is it is dangerous, because it wants to finish its job. And Elon Musk once said, it's like you have this huge, you're paving this huge street, and there's an anthill on the way, like humanity. And you don't stop paving the street. You just pave right over them. And those are the real dangers, that artificial intelligence starts to do things which have no relevance or no care about human life and existence.
I watched your TEDx talk on YouTube, and it has about 2.8 million viewings, so it's got a lot of traction on there. I have to say, it scared me pretty good. And you talk about Google and how it's buying companies that are dealing with robots, and you highlight that there's this one particular robot that you say Google would call peaceful, but it's built by Lockheed Martin, this big manufacturer of weapons. When we watch that and watch your explanation of that, what are we supposed to make of it?
Also, it was financed by DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. That's the Pentagon. They're financing these robots, and they know why they're doing that, because robots save lives. And it's very plain and simple. They increase your chances of winning a war, and they save the lives of your pilots and soldiers. So in that sense, they're very good and very valuable for the military. But it's a very, very dangerous technology. If we start letting AI make the kill decision, I mean, we will never know where that's going to lead, but I'm very worried about it.
So,
and on the other hand, there's wonderful stuff being done by AI.
I'm just curious about that, though, because is the concern then that if the military is to deploy these robots into combat scenarios in order to preserve the lives of, say, American soldiers versus whichever country we may be in conflict with, is the concern that those robots could turn on the Americans?
Well, it's not like those are human motivations. AI has no fear of death. AI has no blood in its veins. It has no sexual needs. It has none of the stuff that human beings have, and therefore its motivations are different. But it can be that it's pursuing a program. It's trying to get a clean environment. If an AI is pursuing a clean environment, it won't take AI very long to figure out who it is that's filthying up the air and the water and everything else. It's the human beings. And you will have a dilemma. AI is trying to clean it up, and we keep dirtying it up. And those two factors, they will hit each other at some point. And we have to be very careful about what we're doing.
Do you identify anything that you see as positive ways that we are currently using artificial intelligence?
Millions. There are wonderful, wonderful examples of it. We're out here in Ohio. We're in the middle of, middle of America. It's a very rural area, and there are lots of people in Boston and California, and they think high tech isn't important in rural areas. But it's very important in farming, for example. There's a machine out there called LettuceBot. This machine, you put it behind your tractor and you zoom at a high speed across your field. It analyzes 1 million lettuce plants in an hour. And when it analyzes them, it also treats them. That means if two of them are too close to each other, it'll pluck one out so the other one has room to grow. If there's a fungus in there, if there are insects in there, it will apply some poisons, but it does it plant by plant. You don't dump hundreds and hundreds of tons of poisons on your field. You can take a thimbleful and apply it to the individual plants that are diseased, and you're saving on the enormous money, but you're also saving lives because you're not poisoning the food that we eat.
Are there different types of AI that could use some explanations? I understand there may be like general AI and then narrow AI.
Yeah, I don't think in those categories. It depends very much on how far it's developed, how far we develop it, and how far it develops itself. But most of those definitions are based on human comparisons, and I don't think those are valid because AI is going. Well, they say it's exponential. Exponential means nothing less than explosive. It's an explosive development. And everything we're talking about today, everything, these are just the first baby steps. This is just beginning. The power of this of these machines will be discovered in the next 5 or 10 years, the positive and the negative.
If you think that they're going to kill us, if you think they're that dangerous, I mean, how much time do you give it? You say 5 or 10 years before we understand their full danger, but when could this chaos happen?
Well, first of all, the question is, who's going to stop it? Now, I've been to a lot of parliaments, like the Congress and the German Parliament and the European. The knowledge level there is ridiculous. They have no idea, no clue about what this technology is doing, and they are very, very slow. So they will never really recognize the dangers that are happening. If we have a hope, I think that hope will be like it was with the atomic bomb. It will be the experts who are creating the technology. The atomic scientists didn't know what the heck they were doing until it exploded in Nagasaki and in Hiroshima. And then they realized what a monster weapon they had created, and they began developing things like the Union of Concerned Scientists and others, which later became the foundation for nuclear denuclearization in between countries. And I think the same is true of AI. There are many, many people developing AI who are also very worried about it. And they have the competence and they have the knowledge to figure out how to keep it under control, how to stop it. And I hope they're good at that.
I want to reference your book, Evolution Without Us, one more time. You have a line in there about mankind morphing into machines. And you say, not in one moment, but rather step by step. When the process is completed, we will have arrived at a new level of evolution, machine humans, and the end of biology as we know it. I'm curious if you think these machine humans will be able to use the emotions that we feel in some mechanical way, such as love or hate or pain, or will it always be motivated by some form of programming?
Well, yeah, learning, we call it training if it's artificial intelligence, because it's not programmed by people. It's called training. And we see a lot of things that are automated now. We're making with printing, 3D printing, we're creating bones, and we will also be creating human organs. There are lots of things happening with blind people, with deaf people, which come from this kind of intelligence. So there already is a mix of computer and human beings. It's very hard to tell where it's going. Roy Kurzweil is one of the top visionaries in that field, and he's with Google right now. We will have to see where it goes. But that's extremely hard to predict.
And Jay, we're fortunate to have you on the show today, and you're coming to us today from WYSO, our friends at WYSO in Yellow Springs. And I understand that you're an alumnus of Antioch. You're from New York City, but you came to Antioch. What's it like being back on campus there?
Antioch is a wonderful place. I haven't been here really since 50 years when I went to school here, and it's great to be back at WYSO, and it's great to be back at this college, which gave me a wonderful education. I have a lot that I'd like to give back to this wonderful school, Antioch. I turned down a Columbia University scholarship to come here, and it was a very, very wise decision back then.
Jay Tuck, we appreciate your time so much. Thanks for talking to us.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our show are online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.